you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are? Or would you rather be a mule? A mule is an animal with long, funny ears, kicks up at anything he hears.
His back is brawny, but his brain is weak. He's just plain stupid with a stubborn streak.
And by the way, if you hate to go to school, you may grow up to be a mule. And all the monkeys aren't in the zoo.
Every day you meet quite a few.
So you see, it's all up to you. You can be better than you are. You could be swinging on a star.
Welcome to the Geek Out Heroes. This is Vargo.
And Miles.
And that's all you're going to get this week. Sorry. The rest of the guys are all out, and it's just the two of us. So, but we can make it if we try. So we're going to get there. This week, Miles, you go ahead and start us off. What do you want to talk about?
So the game coming from Don't Nod, Vampire, or as we like to call it, Vampyr, given its spelling, officially has a release date of July 5th. I have this game pre-ordered only because, you know, it was kind of dark and gritty and, you know, different, you know, so I'm looking forward to checking it out. However, I hadn't seen really any authentic gameplay on the game, and so it made me a little curious as to what was going on there with them giving us a release date without any real show of what we can do in the game.
Yeah.
I had to go look and find some gameplay, and their latest upload that I found was from January, which was still alpha footage.
Was it from January this year?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah. So if they're going based off that visually, I don't expect this to be very, you know, breathtaking by any means.
Yeah.
But gameplay still looks like combat mechanics could be fun. I'm a little concerned that it's going to turn into a shit show, but I'm hoping that the story and the setting is enough to carry it at the very least.
Yeah. Well, originally, what's funny is you and I had both pre-ordered it. I also pre-ordered it. And it was mostly based off the premise of the fact that they made Life is Strange.
Yeah, they had a good flair for drama and story. And as far as visual appeal goes, I mean, Life is Strange is pretty. You know, I mean, they did a good job with it. I mean, it's not breathtaking, but, you know.
Yeah.
It was well done. But that's also tends to be bright, where this is pretty much all dark.
Yeah. The thing that it was really the draw for me was the fact that Life is Strange had such an interesting mechanic with the time manipulation shit.
Yeah.
That I was like, all right, well, you know, I can get behind that. Let's see what we have, and let's see what they come up with that's cool for, you know, Vampire. I do think that the fact that they spell Vampire the very old English way is interesting. I don't know why they're doing that. Maybe it's because of the time period that takes place in.
It could be. I think it's supposed to be kind of middle or Eastern European-ish. So, I mean, it could be a factor on that as well.
Yeah, and I know the part of the premise is that the main character that you play gets transformed into a vampire. He wasn't, you know, a person that willingly wanted to become one, and is his kind of on a mission to find who turned him, I guess. And one of the, I do remember seeing one of the things with gameplay, this is probably way, way back, but they had talked about how you have the choice as a vampire to feed on people who are diseased and dying kind of deal. They have no, you know, there's no way they're going to live regardless.
Right.
So you can feed off them and get a little bit of energy or power or whatever from their life. Or you can feed on people who are completely healthy and you'll be, you know, super uber vamp powerful for a longer period of time.
I thought I remembered seeing something in there for like moral choice too. Like, you know, you could, you know, get a feel for each, you know, victim's personality. You know, you go after douchebags or you can go after anybody.
Yeah, I'm curious as to see if that's going to play any kind of factor into the end game. or like how the story ends up playing out. Because if it ends up being a game where there's really, you know, nothing else you could have done, then I'd be a little disappointed, especially after playing Life is Strange, where you actually had two different outcomes you could end up with.
And, you know, it seems to focus heavily on dialogue trees as well. So it'd be interesting to see how the story plays out. I'm hoping the story and the setting really carry the game. You know, I hope the mechanics are fucking great too, but I'm not exactly holding my breath. You know, if I had to judge based off of just that alpha footage, probably shouldn't be a $60 game, but we'll see.
Yeah, I remember we were both kind of surprised the fact that it was going to be a $60 game, especially since they had come from Life is Strange, which was originally $30 when it launched. I think we had both gotten it for like $20 when it first came out because it was one of those PSN Plus deals.
Yeah.
And we were kind of like, well, you know, is this really the right step? You're going to go from, well, we made a small game to we're going to go directly into the $60 territory, which is hard for a company to do when you're going from like what we would consider a AA title, what other people call indies.
Right.
They weren't really an indie company because they were still being published by a bigger company. But going from that smaller area to a larger area where it's the AAA territory, it's like, wow, you know, that's, you got some heavy hitters to compete against. But there's some companies that have been able to pull it off. So
yeah, and you know, it made me a little concerned when they came out with the more or less the sequel to Life is Strange, really a prequel. You know, while Life is Strange is,
want to point story, out really really quick, that's not the same developer.
It isn't. I thought it was the same developer.
No, it was actually, that was it's kind of weird. It was originally going to be started by them, and then it was handed off to someone else to develop it. Still published by Square Enix, but developed by somebody else now.
Gotcha. So maybe it's just a Square Enix title and they just, you know, farm out their development. Regardless, you know, I guess in some cases, maybe that's why they weren't part of that team then for the prequel, because with them doing a prequel, kind of lost its intrigue. You know, because you lose the time control factor, which is what made Life is Strange so interesting. So, but I mean, since it's being done by somebody completely different, maybe I don't have any basis.
No, it's, for that, you know, assumption. It's probably understandable. There was no questions from Life is Strange of how did we get here. It was all explained in Life is Strange. So the reasoning for a prequel never really made any sense to any of us. It just didn't. We already knew the story for how, you know, how the events that took place before anything with time manipulation took place. So you knew that was it Rachel that was missing?
Yeah.
You knew she was missing. You find out throughout that, you know, her life was kind of up and down and she didn't really know how to handle things. And through that, you know, you get that from Chloe. So it really didn't leave anything for, well, why do I need to go back and play a sequel? And so many people are just like, oh, well, there's so many moral decisions. Are there? Are there really like decisions? Like, I care about Chloe and I don't really know who Rachel is. And based off of what I've heard about the character Rachel, I really don't think I care for her enough to actually be like, well, you know, I feel bad for her. And especially since I know what happens.
Yeah, it's a fleshed out story already. There's nothing you can do to change what's already happened in the story so far.
Yeah. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like Star Wars where we're like, well, how the fuck did Anakin Skywalker go from being a Jedi Knight to an evil Lord, you know, evil Sith Lord. Like,
right.
Those were questions that we actually had in Star Wars.
Yeah. That's stuff that's worth fleshing
that out. We'd like to have had answered. And we, not to say that we cared for the answer that we were given, but it was still one of those things that begged the question of like, well, what the fuck happened?
Yeah. And you know, to me, if you wanted to really flesh out more of the characters from that game, you really should just done like an add-on chapter to the original game. It didn't probably really need a full release.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of variation. You could end up with the endings to that game. So I'm sure an add-on chapter could have been probably doable just to show the aftermaths like of what took place based off your decisions. Right. And that would have, you know, if that were actually a downloadable content for the original game, I totally would have bought that. In fact, that would have caused me to go back and play the game over again just to see what the other outcomes could be. So, but alas, that's not what we got.
Yeah, and Vampire isn't being produced by, or not being published by Square Enix. It's being done by Focus Home Interactive. Maybe we'll be seeing, I guess, more flavor from Dontnod rather than having Square Enix influencing it, perhaps.
It always depends on the publisher. I mean, a lot of publishers like to put their own little twist on things. I can think of a few that like to do this off the top of my head.
But, I'm still keeping it pre-ordered for now. Hope it turns out good. You know, I like the setting. I like that kind of fantastical world. So hopefully it's better than what the alpha showed.
Yeah, and the upside is hopefully it doesn't have zombies.
Right.
Because I'm getting tired of zombies. I'll tell you that. So speaking of publishers that like to have their own kind of say about things, listener, we talked a little bit last week about Far Cry 5 and decided we'd give you a little bit of an update. I have played the entirety of the game. I finished it today. While, like, yes, the story starts out half decent, the thing that's really attractive for Far Cry 5 is obviously the gameplay. It's a lot of fun, even doing co-op, even though it doesn't track your track over to the other person, whoever comes into your game or vice versa.
No, but it does make some segments easier, and some of the nonsense you can get into is pretty hilarious.
Yeah, some of the things that you can pull off together is really funny. I had a good time last night with Justin, as I told you earlier.
Right.
Made for a little bit more entertaining gameplay, and made one section that I thought was going to be super difficult a lot easier. We actually went through one section that was timed, and I basically said, okay, I'm going to run and gun, and whatever I miss, you pick up on my way in, because the area we were in wasn't big enough for it to be the consequence of, oh, you're getting too far away from your partner.
Yeah.
So we just kind of went with that style and got through the end of the section. And that was actually one of the areas where you get taken. And this is where the game has its biggest problem, listeners. It's the taken parts. Ubisoft, I don't know who in your development team thought that it was a good idea to hijack your gamer's experience, but that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. It is literally the game, like there are literally moments, listeners, where the game will stop whatever you're doing. Doesn't matter if you're in the middle of a mission, doesn't matter. It will stop what you're doing in order to show you a ludicrous cutscene. And Ubisoft's definitely been drinking the Kool-Aid. Because somehow they've given their bosses in Far Cry, which is set in Far Cry 5 is set in a mostly realistic kind of environment and kind of world. There are things that are unrealistic about the events that take place, but nothing supernatural about it. But when you can have people who completely can grab you out of, 20,000 feet out of the air, out of a helicopter.
Yeah.
and bring you to their compound at will. These are either the worst bad guys ever because they just constantly let you live. Bond villains aren't this bad. Or it's, or there's something that Ubisoft missed in the translation of trying to explain to you what's actually taking place. But the biggest problem is that once this happens and you get taken out of your game, the game's like, are you in the middle of a mission? Well, not anymore. You as a gamer are sitting there going, fuck. Right. Seriously?
In some cases, it screws over your mission.
Yeah. You failed your mission. Well, great. I had no choice in it, but thank you. It makes no sense, and it is extremely frustrating to deal with. Not only that, but when you're being pulled into these cutscenes, you have no choice. They've literally taken the option of choice out of your hands. So you have no choice but to sit there and wait for whatever's going to happen in this story section to be over. Rather than it being, rather than choosing a time and place for, okay, go to this mission and take out this, let's say take out this bunker. And while you're in the bunker, that's when you get taken. Like, rather than having missions set up for story progression, it's set up where, oh, go and do anything and we'll just take you when we need you.
Yeah.
It makes zero sense. It just pissed me off, like, to no end. I just sat there going, this is fucking stupid. Like, I literally was 20,000 feet in the air in a helicopter, and the funniest thing is to hear, like, the bliss dart, the
Right.
In my right or left ear. And I'm like, are you fucking serious? Like, literally just, I stopped and I'm like, are you kidding me? And then all of a sudden the screen, you know, fades away and it goes black. And suddenly I'm in, you know, in front of either Jacob, John, or, you know, and Jingle Hammer Smith, you're in front of Faith and you know, they're coming, but they still don't make sense. Like, how do these people just fucking take me at will? And not only that, but the ending is so, like, one, so out of left field in the fact that it's just stupid. You're sitting there going, this is dumb. Like, this doesn't have anything to do with what you've been promoting this entire game over the entirety of it. Of, you know, trying to, you know, rebuild this American spirit and stopping this cult. It's just completely out of left field. It's just, what the fuck, really? And the sad part is, I knew it. I knew it was coming. I'm like, this is dumb. This is what's going to happen, and this is how stupid it is.
Yeah, I mean, and to be fair, in general, Far Cry endings have never really truly been stellar.
It's almost like Ubisoft doesn't actually know, they don't understand what makes a good story, and they really don't understand how to end anything. It's like the entirety of the company sat down and said, has anyone actually watched a movie? Yeah, and they all said, no, I just watch, I go to Cannes Festival and I go to Sundance and that's it.
Yeah, it's like their good storytelling ended with more or less the Ezio trilogy.
Pretty much. And that's the, you know, that's the sad thing is that, you know, Ubisoft, we would like you to come back to storytelling. We would like you to start making games that involve story that don't require us being a one-man army that has somehow taken over the area only to have us completely fail or be completely disappointed by the, you know, by the time we're done, or turning into the warlord. And also we would like to have a story that doesn't involve assassins at some point. We know you're capable. We're aware of it. We've seen it out there, but you know, it'd just be nice. Miles, is there anything else you want to bring up with Far Cry 5?
I'm noticing, I don't know if it's just because the amount of time I've been playing or if I'm legitimately seeing more and more errors as I continue through the game. I was playing with Shanna earlier today, and we had to rescue 4 hostages. Well, on my screen, only one of them ever even loaded in, and they could be saved, but they couldn't go anywhere, and the other ones weren't even interactable.
You're not wrong. I've definitely been coming across, the more and more time I've spent in the game, the more glitches seem to be appearing.
Which, I mean, this isn't unheard of for Far Cry. They're notorious for having longevity issues when it comes to being in the game. I've had issues with in 4, 3, and especially fucking 2. I'm not so sure about Primal. I don't remember running into a whole lot of issues there, but it gets to the point where it's kind of annoying. I mean, most of them are easily, you know, routed by, you know, reloading that mission or, you know, reloading the game. I had to reload the game today because of a sound issue that was going to drive me absolutely bonkers. So, you know, they're still glitch-tastic. I will give Ubisoft this, though. Whoever was writing their dialogue, especially just the bullshit dialogue, it deserves fucking gold star because some of the shit in there is just hilarious.
They have a good sense of humor.
It doesn't matter what they're making fun of themselves, America, the players, it doesn't matter. It's funny regardless, all around.
Definitely. But although I do have to say, based off of what you just said, I feel like the ending is now just it's purposely written as a troll on me.
Yeah, they're like, fuck that guy.
Which could very well be. It's just like, fuck these people. Fuck them. They don't know what they're doing. Just give them a shitty ending anyways.
Who knows? Could be.
Yeah, I would not be surprised.
But yeah, still a fun game.
In which
game.
Case, Ubisoft, you. You.
I've recently changed up my weaponry, and I've gotten a lot more appreciation for some of the shorter range weaponry. Fun to go in there, just, you know, balls a-blazing. So. But yeah, still a fun game. Still, you know, worth the money, I think, for playing in general. Just don't expect, you know, a completely polished game or apparently a very well thought out story.
Yeah, I still think it's a Ben, personally.
Yeah,
But, you know, we'll see what they do with the, I'm curious what they're going to do with the DLC, if they're going to do anything to expand on some of the story that they had.
I went ahead and picked up the season pass. I was like, you know what? I was like, it's a ridiculous game. I was like, the three installments that they kind of tease you with sound funny as fuck. So if it's anything like Blood Dragon, I'm going to have a fucking blast with. So
yeah, one zombies, which I'm not too excited for. The other one is going to be Aliens, which I am excited for. Yeah. And the other one after that is Vietnam.
Yeah. And hopefully that's not just in the Far Cry arcade mode. That's going to be really disappointing if that's what the case is. Hopefully they're going to be fully co-op, you know, just additions to the game. You know, wouldn't surprise me if that's not the case, but I hope it's legitimate.
Yeah, me too.
Add-on.
We'll see. I will say one last thing. The thing with the ending, listeners, is that if they had put what happens at the end in the middle of the game and changed the entirety of the game after that, like what it ended up being, like what it could end up being about, totally would have sold me on this. That would have been like it. If this had been a moment in the game and you know, like in the middle and it completely changes everything after that, that probably would have had me at the point of, okay, somewhere Ubisoft learned how to write a story and this is fucking awesome. Because that would have been that U-turn of, oh, shit.
Right.
But unfortunately, it just comes at the end. You're just like, okay, really? So it's kind of like how it reminds me of how I felt about 3. the way that 3, in my opinion, should have ended up, it should have ended with the main pirate. I can never remember his name. The bad guy.
Voss.
Yeah. It should have ended with Voss being the main character, kind of like his Tyler Durden.
Right. I could see that.
That would have sold me on that game, that game's ending. But instead it ends up being just two shitty endings. This is kind of like, you know, if you guys had just gone a little bit different direction, if you had just done this sooner, this would have completely been different. This would have been completely turned into a completely different game, and you would have completely changed the Far Cry series from this point on. I would have gone around telling people, you got to pick this game up. It's fucking awesome. It's kind of like that. You didn't have that moment like in Uncharted, where Uncharted goes from, it's a treasure hunting game that you're fighting pirates the entire time, and then suddenly it turns into you're fighting fucking zombies. like, you know, these zombie fucking creatures that, you know, scoot across the floor on all fours. And when that happened in Uncharted, I was like, oh shit. Like that was where that whole story took this turn of like, okay, this is not what I thought it was going to be. And it made, you know, it made that game better for it. Just wish that Far Cry 5 had done that. Anyways, Ubisoft, you guys got to get better story writers, better plot writers to sit down with your storyboards and figure out where twists need to come in and how those work. I suggest you watch a shit ton of Hollywood movies, not all of the Oscar ones, because most of those suck, but the 80s is a good reference. Moving on to other things in Ubisoft. I would love to have Splinter Cell come back, and not in the form that you've recently shown off, which is going to be in Ghost Recon Wildlands. Apparently they're going to be having a year two of DLC for this. I didn't realize this game was taking on the model of The Division or Destiny.
Yeah.
I didn't think it warranted it because the game wasn't good enough to begin with. I mean, we bought it for what? $10, $20, not even $20, like $10-$15.
Yeah. And we got our money's worth in that regards.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't an atrocious game, but it wasn't as good as it could have been. Not by a long shot.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like it was worth the money I paid for it.
Yeah.
But it sure as shit, like, if I had bought it at $60, I would have been mad at myself for buying it.
I mean, you know? I think, you know, throughout the entire game, the most fun that we sort of technically had with it was actually the Predator DLC.
Yep.
And that was actually a really, really small segment.
Yeah, that was a small segment. It was free. And, you know, it was a good time. It was tough, but it was good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just, like, Ubisoft, we want a Splinter Cell. We want an actual Splinter Cell with Michael Ironside. And I stand by this. I would still be okay with it being not about Sam Fisher. I would be completely okay with it being Sam Fisher at the beginning training his new replacement to take on that mantle and to become part of the head of that unit. Do something. I mean, the last Splinter Cell was good gameplay, relatively the same gameplay as Conviction, but because of the different voice actor, a lot of people didn't buy it and had a problem with it because, you know, it wasn't Michael Ironside playing Sam Fisher. If you're going to stick with Sam Fisher, it's Michael Ironside. I'm sorry. It's just, it is.
Yeah. Here's an idea, you know, and not as a sexism kind of thing, but give us a female protagonist.
Yeah, why not?
You know, when's the last time we've had a female super spy? Perfect Dark.
Yeah, I mean,
hasn't been done in a while.
Yeah, listeners, clearly it's a good time for that, right? I mean, we're willing to accept them far more often than not now. Yeah, give us a good female protagonist. It'd be great. Be also very interesting to see. I just thought of this, and it's probably a bad idea, but you know, Sam Fisher has a daughter.
Okay.
So why not make it his daughter as his replacement? You know, he's kind of, it could be one of those things. He's kind of pissed at the fact that his daughter's coming in to replace him. He didn't want her to have that kind of life kind of thing.
Right.
I could easily see that. So,
or do a inverse kind of Taken, you know, where Sam Fisher disappears and she's, you know, trying to track him down.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I'd be down with that. You know, then we can sit there and be like, she's the worst daughter ever. She just lets her father get taken. Yeah, I mean, you know, something's gotta give over there. I'm really worried about where games are going to be going in the future with with the words Battle Royale continuously coming up now, and how EA and Activision both said that they're like, oh well, we're looking into games like that because we realize that that's what gamers want. Don't get me wrong, a large chunk of gamers want, but they don't make up the entire gaming community. And
large segment of us that actually want story and content.
Yeah, and that's what's funny is you have companies like Sony who are aware of it and sit there and continue to say, you know what, story kind of sells our consoles. Like, that's kind of the reason why people buy our consoles. It's not because of, you know, things like PUBG. It's not because of things like, you know, Fortnite or anything like that. It's because of the story-based games that we create. That's why so many people buy our game, you know, buy our consoles. If it weren't, then they wouldn't be doing it, listeners. And it also wouldn't be the new focus of Microsoft now that Microsoft's sitting there going, man, you know what? We keep buying the rights up to other games, and games like PUBG aren't selling our console. But games like Halo did. I wonder why. Maybe we should start focusing again on single player story. Microsoft, you definitely should do that. You should have given us Scalebound. You should have looked into finishing that. If development wasn't going well, you should have seen about getting better developers.
Right.
Or adding to that development team to polish it. But
I still hope that it'll pop back up somewhere
along the line.
Shortly down the line.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, we found somebody to run with the project, you know?
You know, and I keep wondering, you know, maybe, you know, every time I've seen gameplay for it and some people I didn't really notice it. Like, there's some serious frame rate problems with that game. So it makes me wonder, like, if the demos that they were showing off had frame rate issues with such small areas, maybe it was because the console just wasn't powerful enough to handle it, which is, you know, okay, that's fine. But don't cancel it entirely. Move it on to maybe another generation, or do the thing that you really didn't want to do originally and make it exclusive on the Xbox One X. It's going to suck for a lot of people, but fuck.
Right.
Do what you got to do, right?
You know, we like you said, we want content. We want, you know, we want something new. You know, like, don't get me wrong. We're all plenty guilty of playing games that have no real content to them.
Oh yeah,
I don't know, Division, Destiny, Monster Hunter.
Yeah, we'll go on there and screw around with each other, but
yeah, they're mostly, you know, free time killer games. You know, there's no real drive to get any particular thing done. It's just hey, I'm going to go grind this out with you guys for a few hours.
Yeah, there's nothing that's constantly bringing us back in to play by ourselves.
Yeah. Or as a small co-op, you know?
Yeah.
You know, just like with Far Cry, if there had been a better story and co-op actually saved your story progress, I think it would have been a little bit more glue to the game. Yeah. It would have been a little bit more drive to, you know, lose yourself in that world for a little bit, you know?
Yeah. So,
whereas it gets to the point where you're just like, oh, I'm just going to start setting shit on fire with my blowtorch.
Yeah. So speaking of bringing in more story, one thing that is kind of funny to me is rather than creating new story, a lot of gaming companies are just creating old story just with new graphics. It's not something new. Listeners, we've seen this for generations now. Where games just get remade and get put on a new console. It's not, you know, not a new concept, but the latest one is Spyro Reignited Trilogy, which is, it looks, don't get me wrong, it looks really cool. It looks, the graphics look great. It looks like a great update to the original games.
A lot of people were asking for this
and
one.
Yeah, and legitimately a lot of people were asking for this one. A lot of people wanted it last generation.
Yeah.
Especially when they were coming back with, you know, the HD remasters, and it just wasn't
in a lot of ways. Wasn't Spyro kind of PlayStation's initial platformer, so to speak?
Well, he was one of their mini mascots. This was back when this was back when consoles had mascots like Mario and shit like that. PlayStation's big one was for the longest time was Crash Bandicoot.
See, I have a hard time saying that one's really a platformer though. That one's, I don't know, kind of like a what the hell's the name for it? The forced screen move, but you know what I mean, right? Where you know you're one direction and that's it.
You know? It's still, you know, it still had jumping and everything like that. It was you're going forward, you're going backwards. Sometimes you're going to the side, but it was still a platformer. You jumped on platforms to get across levels. It was still, you know, still considered a platformer. But it was just, you know, what I'm getting at is like. That was kind of like their big deal of like, oh well, you know, we're the same as we're just as good as Nintendo. Spyro was their first bout at doing what Nintendo had accomplished with the Mario 64 world, which was we have these three-dimensional levels and you can explore them and you know, complete these tasks, complete these adventures, and that's what you get. He was really the first one that they actually managed to attempt that and do it correctly. So, yeah, a lot of people love these games. I do remember hearing a lot of the third one getting a lot of flack, though. But, you know, maybe they'll go through and kind of change a little bit of things for the third one to make it a little more appealing or maybe make the writing somewhat better. But, you know, it's kind of cool. But I do think it's kind of funny that we are continuing on this
cycle of just pumping out old stuff.
Yeah. But what's really funny is this is what listeners, what we consider a true remaster, not a remake or reboot like Hollywood does all the time. It's just literally you're going to take the exact same game. You're going to make it with today's graphics. You're going to move on. This is what was supposed to happen with System Shock.
Yeah, okay.
And didn't happen. So this is genuinely what is supposed to happen with these kind of games. So
no, and Final Fantasy VII, you know, they're completely you know, reimagining that game.
Yeah, and you know, maybe Final Fantasy VII is going to be a good, you know, maybe that's going to be a good thing of like, oh, we're giving it today's graphics, but we're also giving it better the better techniques that we've come up with today. And perhaps that's a good idea. That'll probably get a lot of people who are current Final Fantasy fans who have just come into the series since, I don't know, 13, and are getting used to or like these newer mechanics versus the old ones where it was, all right, well, I'll wait for my turn, which a lot of people don't really care for. I'm not too much of a fan of that now because I like more action paced, but we'll see.
Turn based now is a lot better than it used to be, but yeah, I get your meaning on that.
I just, you know, I prefer my games to be a little more action oriented and for me to be a little more involved at the time rather than waiting for my turn.
Right.
We'll see how Final Fantasy VII handles that. The other thing that's kind of worrisome about Final Fantasy VII is really just its whole games as a service model. We'll see how that we'll see how that one pans out. But in other news, really quick, Batman is Telltale's most successful series now, or highest selling series now, next to right there with The Walking Dead, which is not not unbelievable, listeners. I mean, it's technically replacing The Walking Dead, because The Walking Dead's the only other series they've done multiple seasons of. Walking Dead hasn't, the last season of Walking Dead hasn't been around for a while. They've been taking their time on it. They're finishing it up. It's going to be coming out now, and they're going to be completing that series, and that'll be done. So Batman's kind of taken on that mantle. They haven't really done anything with any other series to continue the games going, to see if anything else would be more successful if they continued them.
Yeah, so even Wolf Among Us, which was super, super unique. You know, they could have ran with that a lot longer, and hopefully they'll revisit it. But, you know, to me, that was their second best, only to Walking Dead, and Walking Dead was only better to me because they had multiple seasons.
Yeah, I mean, I could agree with that. Walking Dead wasn't really one I stuck with because I got out of the TV series so soon comparison, and because of that, I just was like, yeah, you know what, game's gonna end the same way. It's just not gonna end well for anybody. It's just gonna end on a cliffhanger. Right. It's just gonna suck.
Well, I mean, as far as like just depressing bullshit goes, the Game of Thrones ones takes that one. But
oh, I'm sure.
Like, all right. Like, this is just fucking depressing. Can't fucking affect anything.
But that's that whole series, isn't it?
Just depression. Yeah, for the most part. Yeah.
which one of my favorite characters is gonna die?
Yeah. What of my moral compass are you gonna fucking compromise today?
All right. Listeners, really quick. It turns out Arnold Schwarzenegger had an emergency heart surgery. And I guess he seems to be doing okay. He's coming out of it. And he was also going to be working on Terminator 6. Is that it? Is it number 6?
Yeah, apparently now? Terminator 6 slated for July of 2019 is being worked on by James Cameron and is going to be directed by Tim Miller.
Yeah.
So, you know, it could be fucking cool. Could be batshit stupid and insane.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people sit there and they say, oh, well, the Terminator movies kind of suck. Well, you're not going to, like, listeners, right now, you should really just accept there's nothing that's ever going to beat 2. Nothing will ever beat 2.
Yeah.
2 was so fucking good. It's just unbelievable. It's kind of like Aliens. You know, you had Alien, and then you had Aliens, and somehow Aliens was better than the first one, depending on what kind of person you are. If you enjoy sci-fi thriller over sci-fi more action suspense, right. That's really kind of what it's dependent on. But most people agree Aliens is a better movie, but you can't get there without the first one. Whereas after you're done with Aliens, like, you've hit the crescendo. There's almost no place you could go aside from literally starting with an entirely new character and not worrying about it interacting with Ripley or anything like that, and completely ignoring the Prometheus films, because those films suck.
See, I was still able to enjoy those, but I went in with the thing that was like, you know, this is so loosely connected to Aliens that it doesn't even fucking matter.
Well, my problem has always been with the Prometheus films is the fact that I've read the original script before it was made. And before Ridley Scott got, you know, butthurt about the fact, oh, somebody ruined my script by leaking it. I'm going to go and make something different now. And made a far more inferior film than what he had planned, and storyline than what he had planned. But, because of that, I'm just like, oh, I know what you had, and this is so much worse. And I have a hard time turning my brain off because the characters in those movies, in the last two films, are fucking dumber than rocks.
Yeah, so with Terminator 6, I get people's reactions to that. You know, like, does this really need to be made? And the answer is no, it really doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
The series is more than outlived its prime.
Yeah.
If anything, however, you know, that being said, it's still fun to watch, you know, Schwarzenegger blow shit up and take a fucking pounding.
Yeah. If anything, the place that Terminator had to go was with Terminator Salvation. I mean, going to the future and showing the future war. Okay. That's literally the only place you could go where things are more safe. And people hated that movie for no fucking reason. There's, this goes against everything we had in Terminator. There's no time travel at all. Well, no shit, jackass.
Yeah, I have no fucking clue where they're going to go with 6.
Yeah, me neither.
I couldn't even venture a guess. Not in the slightest. Parallel universe, I guess, maybe. I don't know.
We can only hope.
Yeah, that's about the only thing I could maybe even venture to guess.
Yeah.
And, you know, along the lines of movie hate, Ready Player One is still getting a ton of shit from people.
Yeah.
Our friends included. And, you know, it's understandable. You know, people will use the argument that it's not as good as the book. It's not going to be. You can't cram that kind of stuff into that movie.
Yeah.
Not a single movie. We've covered that. But when people start reading too much into the movie, like this writer for Sci-Fi Wire, Christy Puchko or whatever, yeah. you're sitting there getting butthurt about your favorite characters, you know, mostly from the 80s, not acting like the characters from the 80s. Like you realize these are avatars, these are people, and not the actual character itself.
Yeah, and what's funny is in that article, she points out that she knows this, that she's aware of it.
Yeah.
And she's fully aware watching this, but she's still upset at the fact that it doesn't give you any new insight into He-Man or Harley Quinn. And my first thought is, why the fuck would you be looking like...
It would be like somebody, you know, meeting me that knew my gamer tag.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're not Claptrap at all. Like, no fucking
no
shit.
Vargo, you're not Kratos. Wait, what?
Yeah, it's really silly to get upset over these kind of things. The movie is one of the other thing I wanted to point out on there was getting upset about Iron Giant being used as a weapon.
Yeah.
And
he was a weapon.
At this point, yeah, there might be some spoilers for Ready Player One.
Yeah.
You know, instead of, you know, flying his friends across the gap, he falls and turns into a ridge. This Iron Giant isn't the Iron Giant. It's a mod created by an in-game avatar. You know, it's literally built in the game. You know, it doesn't have, it's so you can't really expect it to have all the same
capabilities,
or behaviors, because it's a goddamn machine that's being used. It's essentially a vehicle.
Yeah.
You know, you get upset about, you know, that going
against... Yeah, the DeLorean hit 88 miles an hour and didn't go back in time in the Oasis. I don't know how they didn't accomplish that.
Yeah. I mean, like, don't get me wrong, I would have loved to seen some time play with that, but that, you know, I'm not going to hold it against it. So people with the same mindset as her really need to calm the hell down and realize that this is a world of literally gamers.
Yeah.
You know, there's no rules to it or anything. It's just it literally starts out with the Oasis is where you can be whoever you want to be, whatever you want to be.
Yeah. And that was the other thing that was really
literal.
Funny.
A lot of people love, obviously, a lot of people love Halo. A lot of people became Master Chief in the game or in the Oasis.
Yeah,
you know, totally understandable.
The funny thing was, like, she brought that up as well. She's like, you know, I realize that these people are, you know, these are people and they're not the actual characters and stuff like that, and that this is what they wanted to do. But this doesn't give any, you know, anything new with these characters, and it doesn't add anything to what the Oasis is. Yeah, it does. It explains to you that you can literally be anything that you want to be in the Oasis, and that you can literally be whoever you want or look like whoever you wanted to look like in the Oasis, because it's not real. You're not forced to look like yourself.
Yeah, she's upset that it doesn't, you know, do the opposite of what it's intended to do. Like, even in the book, it's intended this way.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the hell she's really all upset about. So
what's your malfunction?
If you're going in with that mindset, you really need to step back and take a look at how you're judging things. You know, it's a fun movie. Don't go in with any other fucking expectation than that. You know, we did, and we loved the hell out of the book.
Yeah, too many critics walk into films and they immediately want to put on the, all right, I'm going to put my analyzing cap on and immediately just try to analyze the shit out of films. And really, you can't do that. You have to go into a movie just knowing that you're going to see a popcorn flick, and this is the kind of film you're going to go see. It's not asking you to expand your mind.
Yeah, go into this movie with the same mentality of Pacific Rim. Obviously, it's not going to be an amazing story or a well put together idea, but it's fucking cool.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
If somebody does something so batshit crazy that it's reality breaking for you, then yeah, okay, I get it. That happens to me in movies all the time. It's usually the point where my brain turns on and now I'm fucked. But at that point, I'm not analyzing the film like just to analyze it. At that point, I'm just like, fuck, seriously? Now I can't accept anything in this world.
And, you know, listeners, I'm not a huge reader. Like, I listen to audiobooks on occasion, and this was one of those instances where I watched a movie, and I was one of those people like, well, it's not as good as the book. But I didn't sit there and get butthurt about it, that it wasn't the book, you know?
Yeah.
I know there's people that have done that with the Harry Potter movies and books, as well as, like you said, there's some people that are probably upset with Jurassic Park or Aliens, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I just go in to see some cool shit. You know, try to stay as true to the story as you can. And in a lot of ways, Ready Player One did stay true to the story with some, you know, twists here and there.
Yeah, did it walk away with the same overall, spirit and attitude that you went in with?
Yeah. I just can't. I'm really astounded that this, as beautiful and fun as a movie this is, that it's getting as much hate as it is.
I gotta be honest, I'm not surprised at all, and here's the reason, is because people have become so, and this is coming from somebody who's extremely cynical and jaded, people have become so jaded and cynical towards film that they feel like everything they walk away from should be a masterpiece or should be this work of art or something else. I mean, it's right. The same reason why the Oscars are a fucking joke to us every year, because literally every movie that wins is, if you didn't walk away crying or completely depressed and wanting to kill yourself, then it wasn't Oscar worthy anymore.
Or completely fucking baffled as to what was going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's completely nuts. Why have films gone from being something that was there to entertain us and to help us forget about the shit that's going on in the world and the shit in our lives, and have turned into this, oh, let's make everything into art, and it's got to be beautiful, and it's got to make me think about how bad life is.
Got to have a message.
It's like, fuck you. Shut up and enjoy the film. For fuck's sake. I mean, like, I walk out, you know, listeners, I walk out of movies. There are movies that I've seen that are based on books, and I walk out, and I'm like, it just wasn't as good. And I can sit there and say it just wasn't as good, but I can also sit there and say I enjoyed it. I've read the Percy Jackson books, not all of the newer ones. And the first two movies of that are literally nothing like the books, like to the point where it's just, we just threw out all the source material and took a few premises here and there. But that aside, sometimes I can enjoy a film for what it is and just say, okay, well, I'll enjoy it. They're just bad. They're bad movies. They're not very well done. They're not very well acted. The best part of the entire series is when Nathan Fillion shows up in two. And I've watched that scene like several times. I thought that was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I personally haven't read the books. I was kind of able to enjoy the first one. Second one, I barely paid any attention to.
Yeah. So, yeah, to see Ready Player One getting this much flack. I mean, listeners, if you ever want to know like where a book differs from a movie, think about how much you love Jurassic Park. Go and read just the differences between, like, you can probably find any kind of site that will show you the differences between the book events and the movie events. And you will see there is a massive difference between those two. But it doesn't change the fact that Jurassic Park was a good movie. And the same thing goes for Ready Player One. Ready Player One is still a good movie. It's not like the book. It's got some things from the book, and it keeps the general idea, as did Jurassic Park. But it's not the same. And
right.
Just enjoy it for what it is. It's a good movie. It's a good 80s film. It's a good popcorn flick. You're going to have fun. And that's all you need to do. Just turn your brain off when you walk into a theater. If you turn your brain on when you walk into a theater, you're going to have a bad time.
Right. Yeah, I guess I should amend that. I'm not really surprised, per se. I'm sad that it's getting as much hate as it is.
Yeah.
Because this thing should be on like everybody's fucking shelf that loves sci-fi. Or, you know, any nostalgia from the fucking
80s. Absolutely. Anyone that just likes to have a good time.
Yeah.
So, continuing with movies, I went and saw A Quiet Place. And it's a very good movie. It's a fun sci-fi thriller. I enjoyed it from start to finish. I was amazed at how much I was able to just enjoy it, given the fact that I had to read a lot of dialogue. I shouldn't say read a lot of dialogue. It's a lot of dialogue for me. Generally, the most of the film takes place without people talking, and they have to use sign language, because the story of it is these creatures have shown up and they are attracted to sound, and any kind of sound that's loud enough for them to hear, they will immediately come running and try to kill whatever's making it. So it centers around a family that's having to deal with this. And the movie begins with, not from, it doesn't show you what happened or what took place to, for us all to for all to begin. You're just kind of left with the, okay, something happened to lead to this, but it starts at like they start at day 89, I believe. And it starts out with just, you know, the family and the shit they're having to deal with going into an empty town, having to walk barefoot so they don't attract sound, putting sand on the streets so they can walk on it. So it creates less, you know, less noise when they're walking, that kind of stuff. And it was really impressive. The dialogue isn't super long because again, they're using, you know, super long or deep because they're having to use sign language, but the overall emotion for the film is fantastic. It's well acted. Hats off to the casting director, because Jesus, it is really hard to find kid actors that are just good. And these kids just knock it out of the park. So, yeah, go see it. It's super intense. It's probably some of the most tense, most intense filming I've seen since Alien, to be honest, for this kind of genre.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to go check it out soon.
But another quick note is that they're doing a reboot of The Grudge.
Oh, yeah.
Not a series that we really thought needed a reboot, but...
yeah, it's not that old.
Hopefully they're going to go the comedic route.
Yeah. I never thought I'd see something that needed a reboot that had Sarah Michelle Gellar in it.
Right? Oh, man. Maybe it'll be like one of the not real reboots. I guess this would be a reboot, not a remake, essentially, where it's going to be a real reboot where they're just like, you know what, we're just going to pick up the series again. We're going to acknowledge the existence of the other ones. We're going to keep going. Almost like Jumanji did with... Welcome to the Jungle, which they've already got signed up for a third or for the next film for that. You know, it's more of just a reboot into a franchise.
I would say that's surprising, but if The Rock has anything to do with it, it's probably going to happen regardless. So.
Yeah. That guy practically can print money right now.
Yeah.
especially with him and Kevin Hart, and they've already said that Kevin Hart wants to sign up, and so does Jack Black again. I'm hoping they can get Karen Gillian.
Yeah,
we'll see. I actually enjoyed the new Jumanji. I thought it was fun. I like the fact that it was what you consider a true reboot, which is we're just going to try and reboot into a franchise, in this case into a franchise, and by acknowledging the first one happened, it's its own thing, this is its own thing. We're not going to try and make it where, you know, one's better than the other or one's trying to tarnish the other like so many other remakes try to do.
Maybe it won't actually be a Jumanji sequel. It'll be a Zathura sequel.
That I could totally get behind. Yeah, I could totally see that. That'd be fucking awesome.
Both of these games have to exist in the same universe.
Yeah, that's true. They do the same things and they're written by the same author. Yeah.
One's jungle, one's space.
So... I think that's all we have, right?
Yeah, I can't think of anything else.
Listeners, thank you for listening to us. We really do appreciate it. Please go on Facebook, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, follow us on podbean.com if you don't like iTunes. If you do like iTunes, subscribe to us on iTunes. Please go on YouTube and check out some of our YouTube content if you want to see some of our YouTube content. If you don't, it's perfectly understandable. YouTube's not exactly the most friendly place right now. But this is Vargo.
And Miles.
Keep on geeking on, and we're out. Now time of my life. No, I never felt like this before. Yes, I swear it's a truth, and I owe it all to you. Because
had the time of my life. No, I never felt this way before.
Never felt.
Yes, I swear, it's the truth, and I hope it.